You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
All right, well, we've been teasing for the last couple of days. Today would be a big day. Big announcement, and normally around this time, Joey, you're playing a very special open to welcome us to the midway point of your work week. Instead, however, I'm going to welcome you to the Ochsner Performance Center on Airline Drive. You know it. It is your home for the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans. Hint, hint. I speak for a living for 3 hours a day. I would love to tell you the big news, but how about we have a special guest deliver that for us? Saints and Pelicans president Dennis Lauscher. Dennis, welcome and feel free.
Wow, thanks for that. And we're really excited not only to be on your show today, which is special in itself, but hopefully we'll be on a lot of your shows because we're here to announce that the New Orleans Pelicans flagship will now be ESPN New Orleans 100.3. And we can't be more excited. We're very, very happy. We love the relationship. It's something that we've been talking about for a while now. And welcome aboard. We can't wait to work together and go forward and deliver the best product that we can to our fans out there. And, you know, a big part of why I think we're partnering is because you guys are a local radio station. That means a lot to our owner. That means a lot to the folks that work here. And we couldn't be happier, to be quite honest with you.
Well, Dennis, trust me when I tell you that I'm pretty excited about it as well. When you look at all of the different excitement and levels of excitement we've been talking about each and every day here on our show, just the last couple of days, Dennis, have you seen that kind of excitement when it comes to the Pelicans?
No, it's been really exciting. And, you know, it's been a process. It isn't something that just happened overnight. It's something we've been working on for a while here. It's great to see a lot of our plans come to fruition. But here's the deal. The bottom line is we have a lot of hard work still left to do. And we're just beginning the process. And the whole idea here is to bring championship basketball to our community. And so we're just starting down that road. And the good news is that 100.3 will be with us along that journey.
Speak with team president Dennis Lauscher of your New Orleans Saints and New Orleans Pelicans on your brand new home for Pelicans basketball.
Good.
Super excited.
Sounds
great.
Good.
Yeah, trust me, I've been wanting to say that for a long time, to say the least. Dennis, I call it a watershed moment, and it's because it speaks of what we've talked about for months on our show, and I got to give credit to a lot of Pelicans fans that called in, because I'm sure you feel it and you know it when it comes to the Florida League, right? Mm-hmm. There's general managers and head coaches and offensive coordinators everywhere, right? Everybody knows what to do. Over the last several weeks and months, there's general managers, there's team presidents, there's what the Pelicans should do when the community cares and matters and gives their opinion. That's winning half the battle there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we want people to be passionate for basketball and passionate for the Pelicans just as they are passionate for the Saints. And, you know, we see that as an organization. One of the big things that we have to do is educate our fans on why this is important, why this is good. But more importantly, we have to give them a reason to care and be passionate about the team and the organization. And so that was one of the things that we started working on a couple months ago. It's something that really was our focus. And it's you know, really good to see that those plans are starting to come to fruition.
That watershed moment I'm referencing was the team owner meetings for the NFL a couple of months ago. And you, Mrs. Benson, I thought both said things that should be put on plaques. You know, her talking about being a steward for two franchises moving forward. It's not just that she runs teams. It's for the community, which a lot of fans want to hear that,
right.
You know, because you know what it's been like, right?
Sure.
It's Pelicans going to Seattle and all this
right.
other stuff. So to hear that was awesome. But to hear you say in March that it was looking in the mirror and understanding what it is that we needed to go, I think a lot of fans have been wanting to hear that.
Sure.
But that's how we get to Thursday at Draft Fest, right?
Yep.
It's understanding that immediacy, that moment of, okay, how did we get here and where do we go? And I guess sort of pull the curtain a little bit for us and
sure.
take us back to that moment of you know, y'all, are y'all in a room or you're sitting down and you realize what you had to do?
Yeah, well, I think, it goes back to when we bought the franchise. And, you know, we'll make no bones about it. I mean, basketball was new to us. Sure, we knew they had an NBA franchise here. Sure, we knew what financial statements looked like. Sure, we knew, I thought we knew what the basketball front office should look like, which should in many ways probably shadow or look what an NFL front office should look like. But I think we had a lot of learning to do. And, you know, over the course of those years, we made some mistakes. Of course, we did have some, positive outcomes making it to the playoffs. But I think as this season progressed, I think there was certainly a feeling by Mrs. Benson and myself and others in the organization that, hey, you know, we have to go all in. We have to go all in on this franchise. We have to do whatever it takes. You know, this isn't about going through the motions. This is about having the fanaticism, if you will. I've said that before, fanaticism of winning like we have on the football team. Every single thing that we do for the Saints is completely focused on winning, and that starts with Mickey and Sean and the coaching staff and everybody else. And by no means am I saying that wasn't the case prior to making some changes here. But, again, I don't know if the focus was as sharp as it should have been. And so we said, look, we really want to bring a championship team to this town. Let's really, like I said, go all in and look at every single process that we're doing on the basketball side, and let's figure out a way that we can improve. And so part of that was finding a new general manager, and part of that was, again, going through our internal process of trying to figure out what we really believe would bring us winning results. And so, you know, whether that was player acquisition, player development, player science, basketball, I'm just called basketball operations, coaching, those were all important things that were really graded in a sense to really look for in the next general manager that came. And so we went through the interview process. Prior to that, we had, tried to, find folks that had those criteria. Long and short of it, David Griffin really displayed everything we were looking for, and that's why we chose him.
Speaking with Saints and Pelicans team president Dennis Lauscha, paranoia was the word you used that day, and that I call the watershed moment over there at the owners' meetings, because it's true, right? I mean, Saints fans, after one, they're so passionate about that team offseason, during the season, and get it, and it's trying to get that connectivity to it. We had an exercise on the show where we had fans call in and say, all right, you're at the proverbial table, you're in the office, the interviewing of the candidates come in. What is your number one question that you wanted? For me, it was philosophy. I want to know where you're going. Where are you seeing the NBA in 3 to 5 years? Because it kind of starts there, right? I mean, it's easy to say, okay, we need a player. Sure. Everyone needs players, but you need a starter. Where? What do you think was what was the number one question you asked?
Well, it goes back to what I said. I wanted, for me personally, first of all, I'm a little bit fanatical on being prepared for everything I do. So, I had a gigantic binder of questions for everyone. and I would flip through it and make sure we covered every one of my concerns. Mm-hmm. Again, it was a pretty voluminous binder, but, this decision was so important. And I'll go back. For me, it was the things I said. It was the, how are we going to acquire players, both, through the draft, internationally, through free agency, what was the philosophy of that? What was the philosophy of player development? Again, in my mind, we're a small market team. And although I don't believe this, I will say there is at least a feeling out there that we're going to have a little bit more difficult in the free agency than some of the big markets. Mm-hmm. I think we can resolve that issue. But in the beginning, I think what that means is we're going to have to develop our players better than anybody else can develop players, develop our youth. And then knowing that we were going to be young, player development was such a big focus. Player science, again, it was so important to us. The health of the players, how we're going to deal with that. We had so many injuries this year in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And, again, having young players in talking about development, wanted to make sure we're doing everything that we can, whether that was in the weight room, whether that was in the training room, wherever, in nutrition, wherever that, and what kind of focus did you have? Obviously, thoughts on coaching. And then, like I said, and it's, coaching also fits the player development piece. And then, you know, we talked about everything else related to, I don't care if it was what do we look like when we're on the road, the policies and procedures, what do we look like at home, what's the discipline going to look like, all of those things. And then lastly was more of, I would say at a very high level, as Ms. Benson has said over and over, the family feel, the culture. That has been a very important part of our success, I think, on the basketball side. One organization, everyone feeling that they're being a part of it. There is no separation. There are no walls. Mm-hmm. Communication flows. Expectations are discussed. And we thought that was a very important part. So when you kind of mix all those things together, the perfect candidate would be able to excel in all of those, and that's what we had in David.
Speak with Dennis Lauscha, team president for the Saints and Pelicans on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. You know, it's interesting you say that about the Saints. As you mentioned back in March, was New Orleans ever a destination for free agents? And now it's one of the organizations that people talk about coming and wanting to play. You see players like Cam Jordan, Michael Thomas, others.
Absolutely
getting out there. I just saw Alvin Kamara yesterday, right, drop his Gillette commercial. Yeah. So you can have success, but more importantly, have people want to be here and be a part of that community. What was one of the, I guess, tougher questions that you had to receive? Because it's an interview on both sides, right, from candidates.
Well, you know, I don't know if I had a tough question as much as I wanted everyone who came to the interview process to know how much we were committed to this. As you know, I'm a local, mm-hmm. and I feel very passionate about the city. And, you know, it does bother me at times when people say, I personally, you know, that New Orleans is a small market. It can't support more than one team. And, you know, we go from here to Chack Bay on all the excuses we can have on why this won't work. And to be quite honest with you, I mean, that really just creates a bigger and bigger chip on my shoulder on why this has to succeed. And mm-hmm. this goes back to kind of looking in the mirror saying, hey, this isn't just about keeping this franchise in New Orleans. This isn't just about Dennis being successful. This isn't about, you know, Mrs. Benson being successful. This is about the rest of the country saying that we can't do it. And that's baloney. We can do it. And, I absolutely do not subscribe to, I absolutely do not buy into the big market, small market issues. I mean, I get that there are challenges. I get that. Mm-hmm. But we make our own market. We make our own team. As you said on the Saints side, you know, I strongly believe that on the basketball side. And you're starting to see it now. I mean, people are saying, hey, New Orleans is a pretty strong place to go for a basketball team. They have a nice I like what's going on at the Pelicans.
Right.
I mean, so you see, within a couple of 5 months, 4 months, whatever it's been, we've kind of changed the narrative. And that was part of what we were trying to start when we hired David. But the bottom line is, again, I go back to, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And we'll keep on focus. And so part of this whole looking in the mirror was, hey, we have to give this franchise a chance. We have to, you know, look, we will throw everything we have. We'll work 24 hours a day. We'll work 7 days a week, blah, 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 blah. We'll put the absolute best people. We'll get the best people. We'll invest the resources, whatever it is. And at the end of the day, if it's a complete failure, at least we know we gave it everything we had. I don't believe that it'll ever be a complete failure. I personally believe right. It's going to excel just like the Saints excelled. And I want to be a part of that. And so does Ms. Benson and the other folks that work here. So, you know, we talked about this as an organization, you know, last, you know, Friday. It was like, you know, if you can dream it and you can believe it and communicate and then you can execute it, we can accomplish some amazing things. And that's really been what the focus has been. You know, let's dream big. Let's believe in each other and let's execute. And, you know, that's the focus of the Pelicans right now, as well as the Saints.
It's incredible. Dennis, you're talking about changing the narrative. You know, you bring in David Griffin and just in his hires, whether it's Aaron Nelson, Swin Cash, and then you see obviously with Trajan Langdon, all of a sudden you just mentioned it. It becomes a place, and I've said it on the show, where people outside of here go, you know what? There's opportunity, there's diversity, there's chances to succeed. They're doing it right. I'm going to start submitting my name. You know, you're going to start attracting some of the top minds and people looking at you now all of a sudden as a destination and things of that nature. But it starts there, and we see it. The example here with the Saints, it took a while. 06, you had a little success. It was fun. Sure. But 09 was when you won the title. But you have to give everybody the tools to do that. But the reason I wanted to start our conversation with you there is because that takes us to what we saw on Thursday. I'm still in awe by what we saw on Fulton Street. It was incredible to see the video you guys released of in the war room here during the pick. And then you just see Zion and everybody else on Friday, Saturday at the court dedication. They're asking, they're telling him what he needs to go eat, what's the best fried chicken places, roast beef pull boys, the works. But his dad's message right at the end there, just, it, again, I keep saying on the air, don't pinch me. It couldn't have gone any better. Now it's time to, you know, to play basketball and stuff. And we get that. Free agency's coming in 4 days. But the point is, it starts somewhere. And it's more positive than it was a few months ago.
Yeah, no. And look, again, I don't ever want to put a damper on all the excitement. In fact, I celebrate the excitement. But to your point, I mean, you know, again, something we discussed last Friday as an organization was, you know, a year ago, we're sitting here and, you know, we're mourning the passing of Mr. Benson, but things are looking good because both we're coming off playoff wins in basketball. We're coming off playoff wins in football. You know, horses were in the Kentucky Derby. You know, things are going well. And then things continue going well. We start the basketball season well. Football season is going great, of course. And then we get to January. And we get to January in the first quarter of 2019. I mean, there's the non-call, the trade request. We got killed in the Pegasus, our horse race, and then it goes on and on and on. And then, again, we flip it 4 months later. And kind of the story there is, you know, for a lot of organizations, that stuff can cripple them. But, you know, we took a lot of pride, particularly with changing of the rule in the NFL and then what we're doing again in the NBA. You know, there's ups and downs in this industry, a lot of ups and downs. But if we can stay on the positive trajectory and continue going up, then I think, you know, that's how you're successful all over the long term. You never let the lows get you down too low. You never get too high with the highs. You just continue to focus on improving every day. And I think that's where we are right now, to be honest with you. But having said that, I'm still very excited with what I saw last Thursday because, to be quite honest with you, we hadn't seen it since we bought the team. And we, you know, it was so great to see the fans. It was so great to see the response. And look, people are excited. Obviously, our ticket office is doing well. We're going to announce today, I mean, I'll announce to you, we're going to hit over the 10,000 mark in season tickets this year, which is great. I mean, I think this morning we woke up and we were 107 away from that. So we'll probably hit that today. You know, I'd love to be at the 13, 14,000 season ticket base. I mean, hopefully we can get there. I mean, that's kind of the stretch goal there. That would put us in a strata that we've never been before. But having said that, we know a lot has to happen to get to that. And, but the excitement is there. I mean, the emails, the texts, everything that I get. And now you're part of our team. You're going to see us as well. That makes me more excited than anything else I do. I mean, and it's, you know, the same with the Saints. I mean, just seeing the crowd into the game, everybody being excited and delivering on hitting those expectations. There's no better feeling for me as a professional, as a president, to see that happen. And I get so much joy out of seeing that, and it was great seeing it Thursday.
Speaking with team president Dennis Lauscha of the Saints and Pelicans on your brand new home for Pelicans Radio, ESPN New Orleans. I promise, just two more. I know you're busy. But I think one of the things that I think stands out to me why we're excited, and I'm excited. I went to Brother Martin, unfortunately.
I won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say this. Notice, you see how that works in New Orleans? When you go to opposite schools, the other immediately reminds the other. It's unfortunate. I think it matters, and it means something. And I think there's been a connection with the black and gold that I would love to see. And you saw bits and pieces sprinkled when it came to the Pelicans. When it was first the Hornets, I thought the name changed. You know, it was funny. Some people didn't like the name. And then all of a sudden you started to see the merchandise fly everywhere because it was unique and it was their own. And I kind of got that sense and feel again over the last couple of days. Our intern's father was out looking for shirts for Thursday, went to get some brand new polos.
Sold out.
How many stores? He said five. Four or five stores he went all around Metairie, couldn't find them, which is nuts. But people were going to buy stuff to go do that. Obviously, I know a lot's going to be centered around Zion, and I've said it on the show. I can't imagine. I'm 43, going to be 44, and, you know, I'm responsible for my wife, the little one, and stuff like that, indirectly here on the station. You obviously got an important job, but imagine being 18, almost 19, and knowing what's on those shoulders but he doesn't seem, I don't know if it's, he's not oblivious to it or he's ready for it. It's just, it's incredible when you think about it, because he's welcoming you with open arms. And I think how David Griffin on Friday introduced him, I thought was important to be like, hey, look, you're part of us, patience, take time, go ahead and grow it. But it's incredible, isn't it?
No, I know. I mean, you know, I mentioned this the other day. I mean, I'm,
were you starstruck when you saw my intern was on Friday?
No, I would tell you, I am shocked at how well he handles himself for an 18-year-old, to be quite honest with you. I'm sure when you were at 18 at Brother Martin, yeah, and I was 18 at Jesuit, you know, although we went to great schools, and I'm sure people say are much better schools, yeah, but although we think we went to the greatest schools in the world, I don't know if I could have handled myself as well as he has done over the last, whatever it's been, week and a half. He truly has been a model. And I think part of why he does such a great job of that is because I think he is 100% sincere. He's 100% humble, and he's been raised by two great parents who really have kept him humble. And look, he just wants to be as best as he can be. He is a student of the game. It's amazing listening to him, his father, and Alvin talk about basketball. You really get a sense of how much basketball means to him, which is very important. He does care about the community quite a bit. And look, I'm as happy as you are to see, and our fans are, when, you know, he came out and said, you know, New Orleans is home. I mean, mm-hmm, and, I mean, again, going back to our New Orleanian roots, I mean, and that's kind of what we want, right? We want to make everybody feel at home, and that's why New Orleans is such a special place. And when someone acknowledges how great the city is and how good the people is, and, you know, it's awesome. You know, we hosted the NBA All-Star game a couple years ago, and I will tell you, you know, we got a tremendous amount of accolades, and, you know, it was a very tough thing to pull off because we had Mardi Gras going on at the same time. And the, you know, after that, the next meeting was the Las Vegas meetings, which happened in the summer. In fact, they're going to happen here next week. And the number one thing I heard from every owner, or governor, I should say, mm-hmm, these days, every governor who was there, was how great the people in New Orleans were. And I think as a city, sometimes we kind of take that for granted. But when you come here, and like has been said many times, if you allow New Orleans to love you, you'll get a lot more back. I think he's understanding that. And look, I don't think it's just him. I think it's all the new guys we're bringing in. I think they all, you know, feel that love. Now, some of them we can't announce because of NBA rules, but mm-hmm, I still think they're feeling that love.
Yeah. Beignet, yeah, boys, we get it.
Yep, exactly.
Finally, I guess, what's more exciting, obviously, all of this is going on, and the fact that your marketing plan's already been delivered by him. Let's dance. It's everywhere, right? I mean, it's done.
Yeah. No, we have a lot to do on that front. Now, you know, I one of the things that we're real talking about the business side, one of the things that we really have been working on, we've done a really good job on the Saints on customer experience, and we always talk about, you know, we've been very proud to be number one in the league the last 2 years, and that's with some new stadiums coming on board, including, wow, Atlanta, and we still never beat them, which, you know, has
– anytime you can beat Atlanta in anything.
Right. Exactly. We take pride in that, and I know it makes them mad that they have that new stadium and they're not number one. But having said that, what we're trying to do is really be transformative on the game day experience on basketball. And we're working very closely with the league. We're going to it was actually something that I felt very strongly about, wanting to change the game day experience and what you see. And I was talking to the commissioner, Adam Silver, about it a couple months ago, and he feels very much the same way. And so we're working with the league to do some special things. And I don't know if we'll be able to complete all those things before the start of the season, but certainly I think there's going to be some really neat things we're going to see here in the next couple of years on the game day experience as far as what you see on and off the court. And so we'll be working that direction, and there'll be some other branding campaigns that, mm-hmm, we'll be doing. But for the most part, yeah, we'll be dancing, hopefully.
Or looks belly. This is just the first of many conversations I'd love to, yeah, have with you. Your little fireside chats to kind of give fans a perspective that's maybe not always – heard, because I think there's a tremendous advantage. The NBA is a global game. The NFL is fantastic here, but it's a global game. It's a chance to really get out and push New Orleans and have people know what New Orleans is all about, which is very unique. And Adam Silver, we talk about him on our show all the time, very innovative, creative, saw something a couple months ago. It's going to be jerseys eventually that fans can change the names. It's just things like that are exciting, and it's two different products. Fans are very involved when it comes to the NBA, social media-wise, players as well, so I'm excited, man. I mean, if you good. Can't tell.
I'm happy. I'm that excited, too. You should know. I think, you know, some of the criticisms were that we didn't focus on football. We didn't focus on basketball. We focused too much on football. The reality of it, particularly from a business side, my goodness, I was blown away in what the NBA did in my introduction to the NBA, particularly on the business side over the last couple of years. And I would tell you it's through – really a lot of things I've learned on the NBA side that has created the number one fan experience on the NFL side as well. And but, you know, we have a big challenge here. And first of all, let me say you're absolutely correct. I mean, if you look at the people that are following the Pelicans across the globe, I mean, it's, you know, everyone says, oh, it's China. It's not just China. I mean, India, it's Africa, it's France, it's the Philippines. I mean, those are some of the markets that really and continents that really you know, support our team. But what we have to never lose sight of, in my opinion, is the 7 million people that live in the Gulf South. And this is a football market, and it's my duty and our staff's duty and our organization's duty to convince those kids to get involved in basketball, because we know that if a kid picks up a basketball, there's, you know, 2-3 shot chance he's going to attend or she's going to attend a Pelicans game. So, you know, we really continue to focus on promoting youth basketball. We're continuing to put courts in around the states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. And you know, we've been very involved with the Biddy Basketball Program, USA Basketball. So, you know, you will see, and with your help, and through the, you know, other 11 affiliates that hopefully will be involved with you and 100.3 will be continuing to promote basketball, because basketball is important to this community in the state and region.
Oh, that's what excites me. Yeah, you need anything from us, you know, you know how to get a hold of me.
Just call me.
I'm beyond excited. Good. And I'm looking forward to it, because we're not even at the season. But trust me when I tell you, it's been your home for hoops for a while. And it's a proud day, not only for me being a local, but also for our station. And I'm excited.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Very excited to have you on board.
Absolutely. Team President Dennis Lauscha of your New Orleans Saints and New Orleans Pelicans on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. We are just underway. Coming up shortly, head coach Alvin Gentry. You'll hear from David Griffin as well. Daniel Salison, can't short him. He'll talk, because he's going to be calling those summer league games right here on ESPN New Orleans. That's right. Those new players we can't talk about, and the ones we can, you'll hear their first shots, their first dunks on people right here on ESPN New Orleans. Joey, I promise when we come back, we'll start the show normally when you welcome us officially to Midway Point of your work week, but we're kind of excited here. Pelicans basketball, your new home right here on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
It's time. It's time. It's Barker Mazda summer sales event time. That's right, folks. Chris Morales again with Barker Mazda. And it's time for you to save big on the new Mazda of your choice. You can drive home any new 2018 Mazda 6 Sport or Touring model in stock and take $3,500 off the MSRP. Or get a new 2019 Mazda CX-5. Get $750 APR cash plus 2.9% financing for 60 months. Want to go full size? Then grab a new 2019 Mazda CX-9 and get $1,000 APR cash plus 1.9% financing for up to 60 months. And don't forget, you receive complimentary maintenance for up to 2 years on every new Mazda purchase this month. So give us a call today at 1-800-256-2737 or visit us on the web at BarkerMazda.com. Barker Mazda, where the boss says, let them roll! Not all buyers will qualify. Must take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 6/30/19. See dealer for complete details.
Come on, make the move to Mazda! Come on!
Bleach
Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco, batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Got a fun show lined up the rest of the way as well. David Griffin, might have heard of him, all the things that he's been doing. He's coming up at 2 o'clock. You just heard from Dennis Lauscha, Saints and Pelicans president. Great news that you just heard in there that he broke, getting close to the 10,000 season ticket mark. He expects to hit that today. We talked about how the brand, the global brand as well with the Pelicans, Philippines, India, France, China, the works. There are a lot of people excited, including us as well. So we got plenty to get into, and we're going to chat. And I'm super excited to have my second guest, Mr. Alvin Gentry, head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans, who probably has been smiling as much as I have.
Probably a little more. Probably a little more.
You think?
It's been an exciting month. It really has been. You know, a lot of things, great positive things have happened. And then I'm just really happy for the fan base here. You know, we've had some fans that have stuck with us through thick and thin, and you know, it's been a tough situation in some ways, but they've been very, very loyal, as you know here how fans are, and it's good that some real positive things are happening.
I want to touch a little bit on that first, but I gotta start with something else. You watched the finals, right?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Nick Nurse, right? I mean, yes. You know, he's got his own brand. Right, he's got his own hat, the double lens. Coach, yeah, that's a haul, folks. I mean, you got your own clothing line. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, have we discussed this with David, with Dennis and the folks, the marketing department? I've been out there pushing it. You need to sell that, man. I mean, you know, sell it to charity, whatever you want with the proceeds. Keep a little yourself. But, I mean, who knew that you were such a marketing guru?
Well, I got two older sisters that would argue that one. They were not happy. They were not happy with the shirt. Okay,
no, you didn't like the bleep. I love it. Well, just go bleep, yeah. You know, put the AG on the back of your collar there. That's a haul, folks. I'm telling you, are you surprised by the attention that all of that's gotten?
I am in a little bit. But, you know, it's just such an exciting time. And then really the bleep, yeah, thing was just, it was just pure emotion, really. the much as we've struggled and then to. Yeah. Understand that we were going to have an opportunity to draft a generational player.
Yeah,
basically, was really, really excited, and I couldn't hold it in.
Trust me when I tell you, if you've watched on social media, I'm sure it's like anything else, right? All the videos and everything. There's been montages put together going into Draft Fest where everyone wanted to just be a part of that moment. It happened, and at Draft Fest, and I saw the behind the scenes video that you
told Zion that. He's like, they got a party out there. They've blocked off streets and everything. People just wanted to be in that moment, in that emotion as well. He's FaceTiming me, my intern over here. He's like, he's screaming. Everyone was screaming. So you were not alone with the bleep, yeah. There was a lot of other things. I promise you. I think the entire city felt that way.
I think they did too. And to me, the most amazing thing was that through it all, I did see a sign that said, Atlanta 28.
It is. Yes.
New England 3.
Yes.
I thought that was that was the funniest thing. In there,
Dennis,
you know, there's thousands and thousands of goal pals and everything, and there's one sign that said Atlanta Blue.
A 25-point lead, exactly. Yeah. That's one thing you've learned, isn't it, Coach? Yeah. We will never find a way to not make fun of Atlanta in one
exactly,
way.
Exactly. You learn that quickly here. You know, after 5 years, I understand, and that's why I laughed at it so hard.
It's interesting you bring that up, because what you're talking about is an organic sense and feel and connection Saints fans have with their team.
That is true.
When they see the black and gold play, and I've said this several times on our show, they feel like that's their guys. You pick on them. That's why things like the no call hurt feel like you got robbed. You know, you feel
I think
that.
Everybody does. Right. I felt that way, and I'm, you know, totally on the Pel side, but I felt like, you know, that we got screwed. And I say we, I mean, you know, everybody in the city, and I think that's the way everyone feels.
And that's my point that I'm leading into. What you've seen over the last several days, I'm getting the sense, I'm a native. You're seeing that connection with your team, Coach. And I think that's what you're seeing. I mean, you walk around and stuff. People have got to be talking to you and feeling that. The fact that people are entrepreneurs and selling, T-shirts out of the back of cars, and all that. But there's a connection. And that's, I think, something that everyone's always wanted. And you're feeling that. But it has to be organic. You can't force it.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it's definitely a groundswell here with everything that has to do with our team. You know, obviously with Zion and just his whole personality and the way he is, the things that we've gone through and to have such a positive atmosphere out there now, I think it's been great. The fans here have been really, really, you know, obviously we would like to pack that place every night. We don't. But the people that come there are very, very loyal, and they're very, very for us. And I just think you're going to see a completely different atmosphere, and that arena is going to be filled, and I think they're going to be there cheering us. You know, the thing that used to bother me most is that, you know, the Lakers or Golden State come in here, and, we had a ton of people cheering for them. I think all of that changes this year.
Speaking with head coach Alvin Gentry of your New Orleans Pelicans on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Coach, one of the things that there's so many we can kind of get into, too, but it's really just where we are from there to here and handling that. And I think it's all been in steps. And I think one thing that a lot of people have complimented you on is how to stay focused in situations that you can't control and compete and play, which is one of the reasons you said something a lot of people were like, okay, yeah, kind of laughed it off a bit. You said, we're going to be a playoff team next year. And you had no idea you were winning the lottery. You had no idea who was being hired in the front office and everything. Was it just based off of what you saw in that locker room? Because you get that sense of guys playing for you or not, right? Is that why you felt that way, that you could be a playoff team?
I felt that way, and I also felt like, when they decided to make a change that Mrs. Benson and the whole ownership group was going to bring in someone that was going to be great. She had talked about that. We had conversations about that. And I thought that we would do all the things necessary to put us in a position to be a real, real successful team. And obviously the hiring of Dave Griffin, who I'm very familiar with, I thought was a great hire. And you can see with the things that have just transpired over, you know, the last 2 weeks or the last week, really, all the things that have happened, that we're very much moving in the right direction.
You just mentioned that familiarity and that relationship that you had with David Griffin. That has to help when you get off and running, right, in a situation like this?
It helps tremendously. He's very familiar with the players that I like, the kind of players I like, the style of play, all of those things right there. And I think he made one great point at his press conference, and he said, you have to have a relationship that's strong enough that you can say to people what need to be said, even if it's something that may be a little bit hurtful, but they need to hear that, and you need to be able to accept that. And I think that's the kind of relationship that we have. You know, it's not going to be all rosy and everything, but I know that when he says something to me, it's coming from a great place and it's coming to make us better.
Family's a word you've been hearing a lot around here, and anybody that's had a close family, there's some days you get, what? but it's because they love you, Coach.
Yes.
Speak with head coach Alvin Gentry of your New Orleans Pelicans, your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. He also said something that really stood out to me Thursday and even Friday as well. The players you're drafting, the players you're going to bring in, and the players you're going to sign as free agencies around the corner here, it's for your system. He said he wanted guys that played defense because you guys kind of took over, or you will take care of the offense with your system. As a head coach, I've spoken to many before, the importance of having people above you, the ones responsible for cutting the checks, the ones responsible for bringing in your roster, knowing that they're doing it based off of what you want to do. It's something that maybe goes without saying a lot in the national media. That's important, right? You can't have success if you don't have the guys that you need to run with.
Extremely important. And, you know, you can bring in really good players that doesn't fit into what we're trying to do. And so the thing that I love about Griff is that, you know, we talk all the time about, what do you think about this guy? Does he fit in what you're trying to do? Or what do you think about this guy? And some of them have been very good players that I don't see a fit. And some of them have been very average player that I think, you know, will fit into the system and be really, really good. And I think that's key to having a great relationship with GM Trajan, with, you know, the executive vice president, Griff, where we're all on the same page. And I think right now everybody's on the same page, and we're striving to be that consistent playoff team. He keeps talking about sustainable success, and I think that become very important, and that's what we're out to get, sustainable success that will eventually live to a championship down Canal Street.
Right.
That's what we'd like to have.
That'll be one of those streets. I can promise you'll be going in and out.
It'll
with
be
a
all
lot
of those
people.
Streets.
Exactly. Hey, you get that done, you can pick whatever street you want, right, Coach? You mentioned as well, in terms of philosophy, it's something that I always talk about on the show. I just have always wanted to hear, what's your philosophy, what you're trying to do. So when you hear Griffin say that last week, as a fan or somebody covers the team, like, all right, I got it. I said, that's what you want to do. Kind of team do you want to build? I know they talked a little bit about that on Friday. You hear, you know, rebound and run, defensive minded. Is that what you think is going to win in the NBA the next couple of years, or is that just something
so.
That you
like? I think that the league has changed quite a bit since I've been in it. It's become a league, almost a positionless league. Mm-hmm. You know, there's guys that play so many multiple positions that guys are not locked into being a guard or a forward or a point guard or a small forward. I think what they become is just good, solid basketball players that can do a lot of things and have multiple talent. So I think what we'd like to have is we'd like to have that kind of team that is very defensive-minded, that can get into the ball, that make the offense react to them rather than them reacting to the offense. And we want to be a team that create easy baskets. And, you know, I think that the personnel that we're putting together is going to fit that pretty doggone good.
I think what's interesting is, and again, and I know this is a good thing, Coach, there's general managers and there's head coaches everywhere the last several weeks, whether it's the gym, Walmart, the grocery store, everybody wants who you're drafting, where are you playing them. So I kind of lead into it from this perspective. How many times have you gone on the dry eraser board? You mentioned it a couple of days ago. You're already thinking of lineups and things of that nature. Kind of pull the curtain back here. How do you go about, okay, you got a guy like Zion. Let's see what he can develop and do. Do you build around him? I know everyone say, look, you got Drew, you go defensive perimeter. How do you literally go about building what kind of lineup and style of play when you have a player like that? Is it more like, hey, fit with what we got, or, okay, this is it, and then we're going to draw around it?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, really, and I know that always seemed like a pat answer, but it really is. I think, you know, having a great player like Zion and a generational player. And I love what Griff said is that, you know, he's not here to save the franchise. He's here to be a part of something that's going to be great, that's going to be built and going to be sustainable. So I don't want anyone to think that, you know, in drops the Long Ranger and he's going to all of a sudden save us. So I think he's going to be an integral part of what we're trying to do. But we are going to try to put together a team that fits well. The pieces all fit well together. And, you know, the whole synergy thing about the sum of the parts is greater than the individual parts. So I think that's what we're trying to do. I think As I said, we'll have multiple position players. Mm-hmm. We'll have certain lineups for certain situation. But more so than anything, we want to be a team that's going to create pace. I'll be really disappointed if we don't lead the league in pace next year. I think we've got to get out and run. We're going to have a certain style of player that's going to be important to. So we want to get out and run. We want to make it a fun game for the fans to watch, but also be productive in what we're doing.
Speaking with head coach Alvin Gentry of your New Orleans Pelicans on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. You talk about get out and run. On our show, we would end it on days that Duke was playing. It was like, they're playing. Go home. Go check it out. And it takes about 30, 35 seconds to see a Zion highlight. And there's a steal on the perimeter. He outruns everybody. You talk about get out and run. Talk to us as a coach here for a second. When you put on film and tape, what do you see from a coaching perspective that he can do that's maybe a little different than we just see the highlight? But what does he do from a coaching perspective where you go, wow, either you have to defend that or you can use it?
Well, I think what he does, you know, there's so many superstar players that plays on the offensive end. And what he does is that he takes so much pride on the defensive end that he creates highlights for himself, you know, denying the basketball on the wing, being able to hold his post position, rebounding the basketball, and initiating the break. So he's a unique player in that all of those skills are there. But to me, the most important thing about him is that he's probably the most unselfish superstar you'll ever be around. He's all about the team. He could really be a guy that got 10 points and be extremely happy if you win, get 50, and would be incredibly disappointed if you lost.
When you have a guy like that, how does it help the other guys on the court? Does it allow you to take more chances? You can trap here. You can kind of move the ball, though. Know that's going to attract attention?
I think that's the type of team that we'll be. We're going to be proactive, and so there's going to be some mistakes made. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we're going to be able to do is that we're going to be able to cover for each other and cover those mistakes up, some of them, and be so solid defensively that we're going to create situations where teams are forced to take bad shots, and I think those will lead to transition situations where we can come up with easy baskets. That's got to be our goal.
One of the things that keeps popping in my head is as you talk about this, it just increases the value, not that you need it to be, of having a guy like a Drew Holiday. Right?
Oh, yeah.
What did you learn from him, if at all, the last several months of the season?
That he was probably the most unappreciated superstar that there is in this league. As a two-way guy, you know, there's Kawhi Leonard, and then there's Drew Holiday, if you ask me, you know.
Right there.
I think he's right there, you know. What he gives and what we ask him to do offensively for us, and then we turn around and say, oh, can you guard Steph Curry? Oh, Klay Thompson, can you guard him? Can you guard Kevin Durant? All in one night, you know, we ask him to do that. And I've never heard him say, you know, I can't do that, or this guy's too big for me, or this guy's too strong for me. Mm-hmm. He even came out of the game when we were playing Detroit and said, hey, Blake is going too great. I'll guard Blake Griffin, you know. And that's the kind of guy that he is. And you're not a real vocal guy, but all of our guys know that, hey, I'll follow his cue because he's going to lead by example. And if I can just do what he's doing and what he wants everyone else to follow suit in, we're going to be fine.
It's almost hard to say. You just described the value on a game day and on the court, but how much even more value personally and really in the locker room when you have a situation like it did to have a player like that and a person like that? Because he literally took the team and put it on his shoulders, but it was the teammates that were verbalizing saying, this is Drew's team. And that was like 2 days after you know what. And that to me had to mean something to me.
Yeah, and I tell you what, he's probably the only guy that could have done what ended up happening, and that's to say, hey, look, we have five guys. We're going to play hard. We're going to compete at the highest level, and then we'll take the results. But he said, guys, we have to play hard every night, and it doesn't matter. We don't look and talk about who we don't have there. We look and see who we have there. And he said, if we got five guys, we should be able to compete. And I think the guys really bought into that. Like I said, he's not a guy that's going to say, you know, all of these verbal things and have this rah-rah, you know, Newt Rockne speech. Mm-hmm. But he, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get great effort every night. And the players respect him so much that There's no way that he's going to go out there and play hard and they won't follow suit.
Is he sending you suggestions on what to run on offense already?
I've talked to him almost every day. He's as excited as I've ever seen him, really. You know, he just thinks that this could be a great opportunity to do a lot of good things and be in a position where, like I said, we're going to know what our team is, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 years from now. And I think just the consistency of the roster and being able to play with the same guys is going to be something that that he really, really appreciates.
Final question for you. It's along those lines. You sort of said in the next 3, 4 years and kind of see where this sort of goes. How are you approaching this season when it's right on a corner, right? September is training camp, and, you know, you probably start working out before that. So yeah. Summer league, yeah. As well. When you get everybody together and you have your roster, is it a message? Is it a meaning? Are you writing down what your goals are, win total, whatever? Or is it, hey, let's just go figure out who we are?
No, I think the thing that we will do is that we'll talk about getting better every day. I think that's the most important thing. We won't talk about wins. We won't talk about what we're trying to accomplish from a goal standpoint as far as total wins or anything like that. Like Griff said, we don't use the C word anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the championship thing will take care of itself if we do what we're supposed to on the court. So our whole goal the first day we meet will be to we have to look at the guy next to you, and you have to make him better every day. And if you make him better every day, then obviously our team is going to be better. So it's an exciting time, and I think our guys are really looking forward to what's going to happen.
Well, I can promise you we're excited, and I love this partnership. We're going to be talking a lot more and talking hoops, have coaching clinics, things of that nature. It's going to be fun just to be able to kind of present, I think right now, what is a very hungry Pelican fan base, as much info as we can.
Well, we appreciate you guys, you know, becoming partners, and we're looking forward to the partnership. I think it's going to be something that's really, really great and really, really exciting for both sides.
Yeah, I'm not going to let this go. You need one in every color. That's a haul, folks. And a bleepy in every team color, because the more colors, the more chances for it to sell. Don't let this go. Nick Nurse has a double N. He's got his own cap. Coach, strike it while it's hot. You might get a little sidetracked.
Yeah, just don't say that to my sisters. Okay? They're not happy with me.
I appreciate your time.
All right, appreciate you guys. Yep.
Head coach Alvin Gentry of your New Orleans Pelicans. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have much more. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans, your brand new home for Pelicans basketball. Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club, as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's, where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie, for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Hey, Amy, did you know the Honda Dream Deal sales event is literally happening right now, where you can literally get great deals on certified pre-owned Hondas?
Literally? I don't trust that word anymore ever since my coworker Jerry told me he could literally eat 1,000 burritos.
Well, that's literally impossible, but there is literally a Honda Dream Deal sales event happening right now. And Honda is KBB.com's 2019 best value brand. Seriously.
Now's the time to get a great deal on a certified pre-owned Honda at your local Honda dealer.
Based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
Slam Jam Bam, baby!
Hey, Dick, what are you doing? Warming up for the game?
I call all the games I watch, even when I can't get tickets. It helps bring that stadium atmosphere to wherever I'm watching from. Oh, the diaper dandy does it again.
Come on, Dick, save it for the air. We've got a game. And check out Vivid Seats. It's the easiest way to get all the tickets to the games you want to go to.
Vivid Seats for the win, baby.
Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN1003.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Sports Hangover on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. It's been an exciting morning. You heard from Dennis Lauscha, Alvin Gentry, and now it's a pleasure to welcome the new voice of Pelicans basketball on radio. He's shaking his head next to me. Can't believe it. I can't either. Todd Graffinini, my best friend. What's up, buddy?
That's a mind blown right there, peeps. No, congratulations to you and the station. What a partnership it's going to be for the next few years. No one talks about the Pels and the NBA like you do, Gus. And to have those guys in the morning, T-Bob and Jordy and, of course, Matt, after you, leading in to our broadcasts every night, and knowing that's going to happen for years to come, it's awesome stuff.
There's so much we can discuss and get into, and we have been the last couple of days, man, but I have to start with Thursday. I mean, we were both there at Draft Fest. We got to see it, seeing the sea of red and the people. Well, what is it like from your perspective to know, man, that you're about to be calling games for this and being in a situation where it's, I keep joking it with you, it's like winning the lottery.
Well, yeah. The Pels did win the lottery. No, it's crazy because if you think about what this fan base had to deal with last year, and pretty much the entire season, you had to deal with the AD saga and what was going to happen. In the meantime, you still had to play basketball games. So, and the fans, for the most part, kept coming out to watch this team play. So it's just great for the fan base. It's great for the city to see everyone celebrate like that. And if you think about it, too, Gus, look, let's not beat around the bush here. This is a Saints town. It always has been. It always will be. But when's the last time you heard any Saints talk in the last couple of weeks, other than Cam Jordan being at the draft and Drew Brees sending Zion his jersey? It has been all Pelicans all the time. And to see it move into that direction is pretty cool.
Obviously, we've talked about this, and I've known you for a while. We would have been 10 years doing Tulane football together. You spent an awful long time over there at Tulane being the voice of the Green Wave. I think one of the things you were known for is the passion that you brought over there. Has it even hit you yet there that, you know, you're transitioning but staying in town, doing sort of the same situation?
Well, you know, Willie Fritz and Tulane football coach, I talked to him, you know, the day after I knew that I was going to be here. And he said something that I really didn't think about. He goes, you know, it's very rare that you get promoted in your own town and you don't have to move. And I thought about it, you know, you're exactly right. It's pretty cool because I'm a New Orleanian. I'm pulling for the Pelicans whether I'd be here or not.
We've had epic texts during games back and forth.
So the passion that I felt for Tulane growing up as a Tulane fan, they're going to get the exact same deal with me, this fan base and everybody in the city, because this is my hometown and this is my team. So I'm not going to change a bit, and I hope people are ready for it.
When you say change a bit, you may have to alter. You can't exactly, you know, do the juju to Rockets players when they're shooting. I mean, I guess you
can.
That's
true. That's true. No, I won't be sitting courtside anymore.
But that's my point that I want to bring up. Everyone knows your passion and your history with Tulane. And what they don't know, and I brought it up just now, the epic texts that we have during games, whether it's 1 minute into the first quarter, whether it's this guy here and watch out that he's, I mean, just, you follow NBA. You follow the Pelicans. You are part of the original broadcast back with the Hornets. Maybe a lot of people don't know that.
No, I did. I was the original studio host back in 2002 when the Hornets came from Charlotte. So I had 3 years of that experience. I actually got to call a couple of games when Bob Lick did television, and I got to do play-by-play for a couple. So, I was here at the very beginning. Obviously, a lot's changed since then. The name's changed. The branding's changed. The ownership has changed twice. No, man. I mean, this is our team. This is New Orleans' team, and that's why I'm just so I'm so fired up to be a part of this. And to like I said in my statement, you know, I'm ushering in a new era of Pelicans basketball, but I'm a rookie too. So in a full-time play-by-play sense. So I'm going to be learning on the job just like these young guys. I mean, the average age of the team is 21 right now. So it's funny. I just left college, but a lot of these kids are basically college age. So, I'm going to relate to them just like I related to the guys at Tulane.
You know, obviously with what we've done and being as long as we have in the city, we know a lot of the people in this building, right. You know, whether it's through Saints, through relationships with Tulane, football practices here as well. Curtis Johnson was a head coach over there. So we know a lot of the people in this building. Over the last couple of days and weeks, you've had conversations I had, obviously, to make sure that our deals go through. It's been amazing to see, and I wouldn't even say transformation. I would say more the dedication. We're trying to explain it on our show, and you know you listen, and you couldn't say a lot, and I couldn't. But you're now seeing it firsthand. If there's any doubt out there that they're behind the Pelicans 110%, we would love to rest assure you they are. They get it, and that's what's exciting.
I agree with you 100%, man. It's just it. You know, you've been saying it. It starts from the top, and you know, in a crazy way, the AD saga, I guess if you call it, it gave another opportunity for this organization now to move forward into the era we're about to go in. And obviously, a lot of it had to do with, you know, that lottery hitting. I mean, you just, it still is crazy that the Pels won the lottery and getting Zion Williamson. And, you know, you say it all the time about how this is a global game and we've got an opportunity now to have a global type star on this team, a superstar. And look, trying to put pressure on him or not, I know David Griffin does not want to put any pressure on him. It's going to happen, though. I mean, it just is. That's just the way of the world. But that's not a bad guy to have, you know, up there, along with a Drew Holiday, who's just a consummate professional. And he's been through the down times, obviously. And now I'm happy for a guy like him to see how the fan base is going to react that first game in the Smoothie King Center. Whoever it may be, Gus, and I know who you want it to be, but whoever it may be, opening night is going to be an event in this city.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was talking to Jim Eichenhofer a little earlier. The games are there. You're going into the Smoothie King Center to watch an NBA game, a basketball game. But when the game turns into an event, that's when you got something special, and we've got an opportunity to have an event 41 nights a year.
We opened up,
and playoffs, by the way.
And we opened up the show with Dennis Slauscher, and you know, we talked about the global reach that the NBA brand has, and he was like, yes, and he's like India, he's like a couple of others as well that did that. Final question for you in this aspect of it, Todd, how great is it going to be? Dukies, I mean, your wife's Duke Blue Devil grad, and here you go, you get to call. We would text each other, and I'm like, dude, Duke's playing. You got to go put on Zion. Have you even remotely thought about what you're going to say and call that first dunk?
No, I have not. I really haven't. I've never been kind of a script guy. It's always been just off. Whatever's in my head goes out.
Zemendis?
I don't know, Gus. I can't think about it right now. I'm really just happy to be here, and I'm glad to be able to talk about this because I've known this for a couple of weeks, and I haven't been able to do any interviews or anything. You got the first interview, my man. And again, congratulations to the station. We're going to be working together now in a different capacity, but it's going to be awesome.
Dude, I'm pumped. We got plenty of basketball to get into and talk. And you will have a safe and fun time in Ireland, my friend.
Aye, laddie, I will.
There he is. Todd Graffanini, the new voice of your New Orleans Pelicans.
When we come back in our number two, Daniel Salerson's going to talk a little bit about a handful of things, including Summer League. He's going to be actually calling the games. And then in our number three, 2 o'clock, we'll have David Griffin. We'll speak with him as well. Super excited. New home for your New Orleans Pelicans. It's ESPN New Orleans.